speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like the fire.
Jesus from the mountains, Jesus.
the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The name Jesus. Father, thank you that you've had faith that your Son, your only begotten Son, will be able single-handedly to deal with the hordes of hell, defeat them all, and grant to us eternal life. Thank you, Father, that today you have faith that we will not fail, for we were not born by a corruptible seed, but by an incorruptible seed. And the seed that you sowed, that gave life to us, has transferred the same spiritual DNA to us, that we may represent you well in the earth, as we manifest in the earth realm your will in the heavens. Thank you, Lord, for access in the name of Jesus, access to receive all that we need for the work at hand. Thank you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If I told you that I was fully abreast of everything that God wants to do this evening, I will not be truthful. Because when Father spoke to me about what he wanted to accomplish tonight in us, I questioned it. And I struggled. I struggled because my mind and my thoughts about the subject was in a certain vein, and not that that vein was wrong. I had scriptural basis for my thinking about it that way. But not seeing this particular way that he was speaking to me about. So he said to me, just do what I said to do. That's okay. I am not going to argue with that. If that's what you want to do, I'm going to do it without having full understanding of it. So I say to you tonight that God is going to do something, but I don't have a full understanding of it. I have to be frank and be true to you. But this I do know. This he wants to do. And someday I will come to the fullness of it. Amen? I don't need to know everything to obey. Praise God. I just have to what? Obey. Knowing that I've heard, I obey. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But in saying that, I do know that what he wants to do is the most important thing that needs to be done. This is the most important thing that God can do for you. Praise the Lord. The Word of God tells us in the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, a verse that is known universally wherever the scripture or the word of God has been preached. Years ago, there used to be a guy who had a placard. In every game you watch, whether it was basketball or football, there was this guy with his big sign, John 3:16. Whether he knew what he was showing to the world, I don't know. But I'm certain so many people went and looked, what is John 3:16? In the day of Google, I'm sure people Googled it. And they would have read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting what? Life." So I ask you this question. What is the purpose of the verse? Should not. That you have everlasting life. That's the ultimate life. What did the Lord say that he wanted to do? He said, "Today I want to impart life to my people." And I said, I thought we've got that already. And I started going through the word, but here. He said, "Yeah, but I want to impart life to my people." I said, "Wow, this is good. But Lord, I still don't understand. Just do it." Just do it. Huh. But you know what? Embedded in that verse is all the things he did already on day one, day two, and now day three. He said, obey. He said, believe. Hallelujah. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. In the obedience was the Lord himself obeying. But in our believing is also obeying and believing, because we all have our ideas on what it is that we need to do to have eternal life. The Hindus have their belief system. The Buddhist has its belief system. The Shintoist has his. The Muslim has his. The Chrislamite has his. You say, what is a Chrismalite? Those are the people that join Christianity and Islam together for salvation. Everybody has the idea. They have the idea because they don't want to obey what the Word of God says. People want to throw the Word of God out of the public square because they don't want to obey. I remember many years ago, I'm not taking credit for this, but I remember, because in the realm of the spirit, things happen. Before people started going against Christmas, I remember preaching a message and I said, anyone celebrating Christmas and giving gifts will be judged because they are saying that they had an opportunity to hear about Jesus. And do you know, the next year, for the first time, there was an attack on Christmas. Up all till the time that we had President Trump come in and said, we're going to put Christmas back. Are you with me? Because man does not want to bend his knees to the truth. So they've got to get rid of anything that challenges their mind and tells them that there is something greater than them. They'll fight against it. But that's not our challenge. Yes, we believe in Jesus Christ. And the word of God says, and what should what? Should what? Should not. Say it with me, should not. Again, should not. It did not say shall not. It did not say will not. It said should not. That is, you are not meant to perish, but you can perish. Is that too much? Can you see that? Should not. You shouldn't have been there, but you are there. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. In John chapter 5, beginning to read from verse 23. John 5, beginning to read from verse 23. He says that all men shall honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verse 26 is my target verse. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath what? Everlasting life. So if you hear my words and you believe on the one that sent me, you have what? Everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from what? Death unto life. Watch that statement. Verily I say unto you, the hour is... No, verse 24 again. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Two things. You hear my words and you believe the one who sent me. Who sent him? The Father. So you hear my words, you believe the Father, you have everlasting life, you have passed from death to life. Yeah? Okay. Keep that, because I'm going to quiz you on that in just a moment. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall what? Live. So you hear the word of God, you're going to live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to life, have life in himself. The Father has life in himself and is given to the Son the ability to have life in himself. Praise God. Guess what life he wants to impart into us? The life that he has from the Father in us. Now, remember what we said in the previous verse. They had passed from death to life. You remember that? And why was it? They what? They believed the word and they believed the one that sent him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'll come back to John 5, if the Lord helps me come back there. But now I want to go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 John 5 and verse 11. And this is the record that God had given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. You get that? The life is in his Son. The eternal life is in the Son, Jesus, who got it from the Father. We got that? All right. He that had the Son had life, and he that had not the Son had not life. And this is where I began to squabble with the Lord. I said, but how are we going to have an impartation of life? We already have you. But do you know, God knows better than we do. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Watch this. Watch it. Watch it. 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So they believe on the name of the Son of God. Yeah? That's settled? I write this to people who believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on this name of the Son of God. Well, I thought we believed in the name of the Son of God already. So we're not talking about just a casual knowing of the name of the Son of God. We're talking about knowing him in a deeper, deeper level. And the Lord began to speak to me. When I talk to you about imparting life, I'm talking about bringing people to a deeper level in their walk with me. Now it began to make sense. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. And this is the confidence we have in him. Now, let's go to verse 20. 1 John 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and had given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is true. We know him that is true, and we know that we are in him that is true, even his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Wow. Then hear the next verse. Little children, keep yourselves from what? Idols. Oh. So you mean I have a relationship and God is still saying to me, stay away from idols. What is God's intent? It is to pull me from that place where I get easily distracted by the natural realm, by the things of this world, and my focus is driven and targeted in knowing him, that I may know him, Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his what? Resurrection. Did he know him already? He did? He's already writing epistles. And he's still saying, that I may know him. This one thing I do. I forget about those things which are behind, and I push forward. I focus my attention on getting to know him. I don't want any idols in my life. I just want to follow him completely. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. We read in 1 John some things about we moving past death to life. Did we not? Now, 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. So this is a proof that you've passed from death, that eternal life that got you from death to life. Let me tell you how it works. It works on this basis because you love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother has not made the transition, abideth in death. So life is connected to love. And in John chapter 3 and verse 16, you see the full play of it. God so loved, and the end result is eternal life. Amen. Amen. And that life is in him because he loved. Praise God. Praise God. John chapter 17 and verse 3. John 17 and verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The theme is still the same. Believe in the Father and believe in the one that he sent. And this is how you're going to have this eternal life, and you'll pass from death unto life. But we just read that the passing from death to life is in the loving of our brothers. Huh. So what is he trying to communicate to us? He's simply saying, you don't believe me, and you don't believe the one who sent me when you are not walking in love with your brother. Does God have the right to condemn every single one of us here? And he will be right 100% of the time? But does he want to do that? What does he want to do? Restore. What does he want to do? Forgive. What does he want to do? Heal. What does he want to do? Deliver. God is not in the business of trying to kill us. He's in the business of trying to retrieve us from death. Hallelujah. By the expression of his love. And he's saying to us, I want you to do the same with your brother. I want you to do the same with your son, with your daughter, with your husband, with your wife, with your neighbor. Everywhere you go, be willing and ready to express love. Now, when you express love, sometimes people will think that you're foolish. Look at this foolish guy. Look at what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's doing. Doesn't you know that I want to kill him? And he's just there, just putting his neck there like a fool. You know, like we say in Nigeria, like a mumu. Look at him. But meanwhile, God is saying, he's not the fool. You trying to kill him, you trying to hurt him, you're the fool. Because you are abiding in death. He that is loving you is abiding in life. Praise God. Are you with me? Our walk of love is not stupidity. The greatest protection you have is trusting yourself in the hands of God. And letting God, your Father, be your fighter. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In Philippians, remember John 17:3, it says, and this is life eternal, that they might what? Know. That they might what? Know thee, the only what? True God. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal. Knowing God. And Paul tells us in Philippians 3 and verse 10. He says very clearly. Philippians 3:10. That I what? May know him. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, if by any means I might attain, if by any means I might attain, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Is that not a settled matter, Paul? Is that not settled? What are you saying? If by any means I might attain. What are you talking about? Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. How did Christ Jesus apprehend him? By love. By love. What was Paul doing? Paul was going about trying to persecute Christians, trying to kill them, left his home turf. And he's heading into Damascus, Syria, a different country, to hunt down Christians. And God says, what are you doing, man? What do you think you're doing? You're kicking against the pricks. Come on. Knocks him off his high horse. The guy is blind. And he sends somebody to come minister to him. And he's restored, and now believers want him dead. you can't be bringing this is an agenda. This guy just wants to find out where we are so he can come kill all of us. No. God is here. Move away from your agenda and what you think other people are thinking or what they're trying to do, and thinking the wickedness that they may or may not be putting in place, and recognize that the God that you serve just simply says, love your what? Enemies. And do good to them that despitefully use you. Because this is where true life is. And when God says to me and says to you, I want to impart life to you, he's saying simply, I want to impart my love into you so that you become the fullness of the manifestation of my love as you deal with people daily in their lives. What does that take? Your obedience, and it's going to take a lot of faith. Hallelujah. So that you stay stuck in the pathway of life. He says, brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, that includes the good things and the bad things. You know, some of us are stuck on all the good things we did yesterday. You know, yesterday, I did this for you. Remember that? I did, but today is another day. It's not yesterday anymore. Hallelujah. Stop being selfish and stop being greedy. I helped you yesterday. That should be enough. And God is saying, if I deal with you that way, based on what I did for you yesterday, so I won't do anything for you today, how would you like those apples? You're saying, stop getting stuck on what happened yesterday. Whether it was good, bad, or ugly, it doesn't matter. Keep on pressing on. It's a new day. It's a new moment. It's a new season. Press on. Press on. Press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What is this mark of the high prize? It is the greatest of all. There are three things: hope, faith, and love. And the greatest of these three, the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 13, is what? Love. It's the greatest. And it is from that love of God that we have the life of God. So when Father was saying, I want to impart life to my people, he was saying, I want to impart, one, the ability to come to know me in a deeper level. I want to impart to them the capacity to love beyond their natural abilities. Hallelujah. And by so doing, they will experience true life. Glory be to God. I want that, don't you? Praise the Lord. In 1 Peter, or 2 Peter rather, chapter 1, start out, Simon Peter, servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power. Praise the Lord. According to how his divine power given unto us all things that pertain unto life and pertain unto godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Lust. Now, lust is trying to replace love. And lust is what will keep you in that state of darkness and death. Lust is what caused them to go eat what God did not ask them to eat. Love would have made them stay and say, I will obey the instruction because I believe the one who gave me the instruction. You, I don't know. You are Johnny, just come. Isn't it amazing how people, some new person just shows up and starts whispering their nonsense and people just gobble it up? And they leave relationships that are stable, relationships that they know have brought blessing into their life, and they slid away and follow something that they really don't know because of lust. Love, when there's true love, lust does not have any room to occupy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to settle the matter in just a moment by introducing you to something more. The Word of God says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see verse 11 again. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of his calling. Am I not counted worthy already of his calling? Yeah, there's a deeper level. I want to go deeper into the things of God. Do you remember the story of the 10 virgins that were invited to the wedding of the bridegroom? Remember that story? Is the church called to be the bride of Christ? So the church could not really, the true church cannot really be the virgins. You cannot be the 10 virgins and be the bride. Is that too confusing? Or is that plain enough? So there's a difference between those that will be the bride of Christ and those that are invited. Did you hear the Lord talk about a parable about there was a wedding and there were guests that were invited? Well, I really, it's okay to be a guest, to be in the party. But I think it's better to be the bride. And God is saying to us, listen, I want to bring you to the inner circle, to a deeper level in my relationship with you, because you know me and you are sold out in your commitment towards me. You are not in the flanks. You're right in here. Did he have 12 disciples? And did he have three that he always drew closer with? And was there one? Everybody's not on the same class. We might all end up in heaven, but we are not going to all be in the same class. And we're not all going to have the same size room, mansion. Some people's mansions are going to be megalicious. Hallelujah. That's my new word for today. Praise the Lord. Megalicious. Amen. There's hierarchy. And when God says, I want to impart life to you, he's saying, I want to bring you closer. I want to draw you closer. I want to bring you to the place where you are in my inner circle, and I can say certain things to you because I know that you will be obedient and you're going to walk in faith and do what I say for you to do. I guess tonight was my test. Are you just going to do what I say you should do? I want to impart life to my people. But Lord, I don't understand it. Forget about what you understand. It's all in there. There's a deeper level. I want you to impact into them tonight the capacity where this hunger for more becomes so deep within them. It becomes so passionate in their commitment, in their drive, in their passion. They are willing and they are surrendered to me. They are not looking at the world and allowing the world to dictate the mandate of their life. They just want me. Praise God. Now, tonight I'm going to read you a passage of scripture. Time does not permit me to spend time on it, because this particular scripture needs full attention. But as I sat up there this evening, some of you might have seen me grab my stuff and I walked out, because the Lord was speaking to me about this scripture. He said, I want you to read this scripture to my people today. At another time, you will speak on it in full. So I want you to come with me to the book of Ezekiel for a moment. Chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. Now I encourage you to read this particular scripture when you get home. Pull it to yourself, study it. I'm going to take it up from verse 4. God is talking about his people. And he says, and as for thy nativity, in the day thou was born, thy navel was not caught. Neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. So this is a child that is born. It's out. It has life. But it has not received proper treatment. It's almost like somebody just pushed out the baby and walked out. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. And there are many who have come to the Lord. They're born again, but that's the end of it. They still, there's something that they call body odor. Have you heard of that? Body odor is something that you cannot perfume away. And body odor starts not because you were working and sweating. When we're talking about body odor, we're talking about a child that was born and not cleaned properly. Okay? You didn't clean that child properly and just take the smell of the birth experience off properly. Now, when you do that, that child, no matter what you do afterwards, is going to have this bad smell. That's what real body odor is. Not that you were working for the city 9 to 5 and everybody else was just standing around and you were doing all the work. And now you're sweating. Now you have body odor. He-goat man. No, we're talking about a smell that lingers, that you cannot perfume away. Because your birth experience was not proper. So here is this child washed, was not washed in water to cause the skin to be supple, was not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. It says, none I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion on thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field. Left. Born, but left. And there are many in the body of Christ who are like that. They got saved, so to speak. They prayed the prayer, so to speak. And nobody followed through with them. May God help us not to be that kind of church. Hallelujah. That we will love your brethren. This is the passing from death to life. Loving your brethren means being willing and ready to sacrifice time, resources, whatever it is that you need to do to make sure that somebody else gets grounded in their faith. Hallelujah. Cast out in the open field to the loitering of thy person in the day that thou wast born, to the loathing of thy person. There's so many in the church that don't have a sense of purpose. They loathe themselves. And the reason is they did not hear those bonding words of I love you. You're a sweet, beautiful child. So glad to have you. Jesus is Lord. In fact, if I may say this, this is something that every mother and every father must say to their child. First words that child should hear in their hearing when they are born is, Jesus is Lord, and you are greatly loved. What did I say? Yes, that's the first thing your child needs to hear. Girls, when you have your babies, all those that have not had the baby yet, when you have your children, the first words they should hear from your mouth to their ears is, Jesus is Lord. And you are greatly loved. Praise the Lord. Those are the words that will open life to them. That's the key to their victory. So when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. What did he hear? Live. You know, I didn't even consider this passage. Not until I sat down there and the Lord spoke to me, said, I want you to find this passage right now in the book of Ezekiel, and I want you to read it to my people. I didn't even know that that word was there. Live. And that's what God is trying to say. That's what God wants to do. Today, as hands are being laid, he's going to say, live. Hallelujah. I don't care whether you were circled, loved, cared for, that I don't care that they dumped you out in the bush and left you to die. I am saying to you today, you are going to live. You are not going to die in the world of pornography. You're not going to die in the lies and confusions of defeats that the enemy has spoken into your life. You're not going to die because of depression and mind issues, mental issues, emotional issues, whatever the issues are. I am saying to you, live! Hallelujah. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live! Thank you, Lord. I've caused thee to multiply as the board of the field, and thou hast increased, waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. I encourage you to read this passage of Scripture, because the passage of Scripture talks about God intervening and how it is that when God had intervened in their life, they chose to do otherwise. They sought idols. They sought other solutions. And God says, where were they when you were a nobody? Now that I've made you a somebody, now you are turning yourself to people who could care less about you. That is not going to be our portion. Amen. Amen? Amen? We will be blessed in every realm, in every area. But because we are committed to the Lord, we shall have no idols. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Well, I thank God for the privilege once again to share the word of God with you. The God we serve is not limited. He gives, and he's never empty. And he's saying to us, I want to give you my life. I want to impart life to you. In the impartation of this life, I want to impart this grace of knowledge, this grace of understanding, this grace of wisdom into you. I want to impart into you my love so that you love your brethren and you're willing to sacrifice just like I did. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Fellowship of his sufferings is his expression of love to people who sometimes did not embrace and receive his love. Not everybody is going to receive you. And there are going to be people that are going to despitefully use you. And I know that. Been there. But the one thing God says for every one of us to do is to love people just like God has loved us. Even as the Father sent me, so send I you. Amen? Father sent me because he loved people, loved the world, and I'm sending you the same way Father sent me. To love the world, not the things of the world, but to love people. You find yourself vulnerable, God will ask you to do things that you know, if I do this, this person's going to call me all kinds of names. They're going to do this and they're going to do that. And God says, it doesn't matter. Because nothing trumps love. Praise the Lord. And when we have that love of God, we have the life of God. The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the impartation of your love, the impartation of knowledge and understanding, the impartation of wisdom, the impartation of the God life. Father, I obey your instruction. I ask, O God, that as I lay these hands, that these hands will not be my hands, that these hands will be your hands. Abide in me and envelop me and infuse into each one, impart into each one that which they need, that your life radicalized by the presence of your anointing, indeed of your glory, will cause them to live an extraordinary life, that causes men to say, at all times, I see God. As I look at you, I see the manifestation of the goodness of God. Because out of you, touching me right now, is the love of God. Father, do it for us. We receive this grace in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. This time we'll honor God with our giving, and as we do so, we're going to just form a line on both sides, and I'm going to lay hands on you so you receive what God has for you. Praise the Lord. Those of you that are watching online, stretch your hands towards me. Do as we are doing here, honoring God with our giving, and at the same time, positioning ourselves to receive from the Father. Stretch your hands towards me. In the mighty name of Jesus, receive your impartation now. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I felt that. It was like electricity just shooting out from my fingers to reach you where you are. So I was driving here today. The Lord said, tell them that this is like a recharge. I like that. He says, tell them it's like me boosting them. Some, their battery cells are so dead. But God says, I'm going to boost them. And by the workings of my Holy Spirit, like an alternator, I'll keep them recharged. I said, Lord, are you talking about a revival? He said, yes. I'm going to revive my people. I said, Lord, revive me. I need revival. And he said to me, he said, I'm not just going to revive them. I'm going to revive everything around them. I'm going to revive their businesses. I'm going to revive their physical bodies. Receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right.